gentleman who sits in the Baskin seat for that show.
Yeah.
Right across, right where you sit right now.
Yeah.
Mentioned playoffs.
Oh, Titus, why would you do that?
We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mr. Tyvus Powell joins us now.
No, it's still Tyvus? I thought it was Titus.
What's wrong?
Dick and Dayton yesterday got on the postgame show and he said, "Hi, Jeff. Hi, gang."
Oh, so now he knows. He knows.
I appreciate him for doing that.
Yeah, well, at least he stopped for a second. Jeff, just so you know, 44 votes in. What's the first thing you think of when you hear the word Jameson? 100% say whiskey, 0% say Simon & Simon.
Which sums up our listeners.
44 votes in within less than a minute.
Hey, they've been Browns fans for a long time.
Thank you.
They're familiar with that. Tyvus, I'm not gonna poo-poo your playoff mention yesterday because I thought the same thing. I just didn't say it. And I just thought, it's the optimism that we Browns fans have. It's like, man, that looked pretty good. If you can do that four or five more times in a row, and why not? You can win four or five more games in a row. Why not? But at 2-6, you're in trouble.
You need something. Listen, you needed hope. That game provided hope. And it wasn't like they beat some – it wasn't like they beat some low, middling team. Like, they beat a team that's at the top of the NFL right now. And it just makes you think, like, man, if they could do that against them and they can answer that challenge and they can play like that, it's not impossible. Is it hard? Yes. Is it highly unlikely? Yes. But as they said on Dumb and Dumber, you're telling me there's a chance. And that's all you really want, is a chance. And the fact that you got a chance, like, that's good. And I think that they showed everybody, and they got this whole fan base. They won the fan base back. Let's just say that. You know, people are going to continue to support and come back to these games. If they can go out there and win again, and they go 2-0 heading into the bye week, then you really got optimism. You know, obviously we got to see what the Steelers do tonight, but Cincinnati didn't look great yesterday. Obviously we beat Baltimore, so it's like it's right there. You're only two or three games out of, you know, even being at the top of the division. Like I say, it's far-fetched, but it's not something that can't happen.
All right. What jumped off the page yesterday to make you say, this team looks like a team better than we've seen before this season? I mean, some of it's obvious, but I just want to hear it from you.
Well, I mean, obviously, me being a defensive guy, I always start with the defense. You know, they had a big boy challenge. Can you stop Derrick Henry? And, oh, by the way, one of your starting linebackers is out. That didn't mean anything. Guys went in there and still got things done. JOK went out over the course of that game. These guys still did a good job of stopping Derrick Henry. Offensively, obviously, you've seen the ball pop. You know, these wide receivers. Listen, this is 2 years in a row that this has happened, where we looked at the wide receiver core and said, maybe they just aren't good enough. And then a quarterback change happened, and now these guys go out there and they're making all kinds of plays. We saw it with Flacco. Jameis Winston had the same thing going yesterday. So it tells me that the receiving core is good. It justifies why they traded DPJ last year. Justify why maybe they traded Amari Cooper this year, you know? And so the thing is, they believe because they've seen it in practice. Us as a fan base, we haven't seen it on Sunday, so we was questioning a lot of things. Seeing them play the way that they played yesterday, okay, now I can see why they made some of the moves that they made.
All right, let me ask you this. Baltimore's first drive of the game, they decide not to kick a field goal and just kind of laugh at the Browns' defense and say, oh, we'll just go for it on fourth down. Well, you walk me through that as a player. I thought that set the tone for the rest of the game. Because like you said, I thought yesterday was about defense too. I know everyone wants to look at the offense, but it started with defense and it ended with defense yesterday. And I thought that stop on the first drive of the game was gigantic because it gave, I think, everybody in the stadium hope as compared to giving up a, you know, 100-yard touch run back the week before, right?
First of all, it's disrespectful that a team don't take the point. You know, when you to make that type of call, that means that they believe that you're not there for the challenge. You're not accepting the physicality. They think they're more dominant than you. And I think the Browns stood up. You know, that's, like I say, last year the Browns took the fight to everybody. They caught everybody by surprise. And this year, it seems like they reverted back to the old Brown. But that moment right there was like, okay, they still are a physical team. They still are very dominant. And I think that's what's them getting that stop right there set the tone. Like, all right, y'all better strap them up tight and put your mouthpiece in. Cause we hitting today. We ain't backing down from nobody. We don't care who you are. And that's what you want to see as a Browns fan. You know, you just want to see a team that fights, that don't back down, that takes the fight to people. And I thought they did a really good job of doing that yesterday.
How much do we balance Jameis Winston playing well, the new play caller, a pass defense that, though Baltimore is usually terrific defensively, has had major issues so far this year? How should we balance that? Or should we not even bother to try?
No, I think you gotta take into effect that they were down both of their starting corners. That plays a major factor into it all. But you can't take away from the fact that Jameis let that ball fly out of his hands. Jameis threw it to these wide receivers before they was even out of their break. Right here. Jameis just had a chemistry with these guys that he knew how to get the ball to them, how to utilize them. And I thought Ken Dorsey, I said it yesterday on the show, I thought he did a good job of utilizing these players to their strengths. You know, he's not trying to force them to be something they're not. He's letting them be their natural self, and they are making the plays happen.
Tyvus, you getting gas or getting groceries? What are you doing there?
I'm getting groceries. Hey, we're worried about what's going on over here.
Because I think I heard your pin. I think I heard you put your pin in, so I just want to make sure.
I'm just kidding. I Apple paid it.
Boom. Okay. All right.
You just scan the phone. Boom.
Okay. Let's tap into your expertise. As a defensive back, what did you think of the wide receiver play yesterday?
I'll tell you what, they stepped up. They stepped up and made a ton of plays. Like I say, said to Tillman, this is back-to-back weeks that he's looked really good. You know, last year we didn't understand what the third-round pick was. We didn't understand why they felt comfortable trading for DPJ. But the past 2 weeks, you see it. You know, this guy ran past guys. This guy was jumping over people, making catches. He had a sour taste in a lot of Browns fans' mouth because when you thought about Cedric Tillman up until about probably yesterday, you thought about the drop fourth down pass in the Giants game. That's the first thing that came to mind. Well, now you're thinking about a guy that's stretching the defense, going down and catching touchdowns on second and 15 with the game on the line. You see a guy that's looking like a reliable receiver. You see a guy that all the backup quarterbacks love to throw to. You just give him an opportunity. And that guy prepared himself probably since he dropped that pass. He prepared himself for when he had that moment the next time he was going to shine, and he's done that. Elijah Moore has always been a guy that I always said you just got to get the ball in his hands. You can't rely on him to maybe run the best route, but if you get the ball in his hands, he's shifty enough to make guys miss. And I thought they did a good job of that. Like I said, Jameis also did a good job of throwing it to him before he was even out of his break. I think that's the thing. He creates separation because he's so shifty and he's quick that when he runs his routes, if you throw it to him as soon as he comes out the break, he'll 9 times out of 10, he'll probably have a little step on that DB. Jameis did a really good job of helping him thrive in that. And I was just happy to see the rest of the receiving corps. I mean, David Njoku seemed like a shell of himself. He had a nice little catch out there. He made some tough catches and scored the touchdown to get things going. He looked like the guy that he was the tight end when Joe Flacco took over last year. He just started to shine, and it seems like it's the same effect. Jameis right now is having that same effect. It's early. It's only one game, but you can tell that it's a different pep in these guys' step when Jameis was out there.
Can you tell the difference in the play calling?
No, offensively, all kind of looked about the same to me. You know, it wasn't like a major difference to me at all. It all looked like the same stuff Kevin does. It wasn't like they was in a ton of gun. They still operated from under center as well. So, yeah, I don't know.
Is that a bigger deal than we're making it out to be, though?
I don't really see, because you can't, if the offensive scheme is still the same, it still looked good last year, even when Joe Flacco was running and Kevin was calling the play. Like, if they came out here and ran shotgun 50 times and it looked different, like, then I would say something. But to me, it looks just like the same thing Kevin was trying to do.
Denzel Ward had a concussion yesterday, and it's the sixth of his career. And who knows? You know, we haven't heard any updates on anything.
I can already answer his question for you because in Fact or Fiction yesterday, the question was, should Tua retire after his third? Is this where you're going with it?
I was just wondering Tyvus' thoughts. Yeah. You know, he and Denzel were defensive backs. They both played at Ohio State. They're both local guys. I mean, if there's a guy who has Denzel's background, it's you. What do you think?
Who you ask? Like, I'm gonna ask you the same thing I asked Andy yesterday.
All right.
Are you asking the player, Tyvus, the former player, Tyvus, or are you asking the analyst, Tyvus?
I'll ask the player. And I know the way that you divided it, I know the two answers. I'll ask the player. Go.
The player, Tyvus, I'm not retiring until they tell me I can't play no more. Like, until you physically tell me that we're not clearing you, we're not allowing you to go out on that field, and I'm going to continue to play because I love this game. I've sacrificed my entire life for this game. This game of football, it's how I am now. You know, when people talk about football, like, I get emotional about it a little bit because football has done a lot for me in my life. It's really saved my life and changed my life. And that's how all football players, for the most part, I'm talking about the real ones now. I'm talking about the real, genuine football players, not the ones that's in it just to make a couple dollars. I'm talking about the ones that wants to be great at this game. Those guys. It's hard to pull somebody off, especially when you're playing really good football. Like for Denzel, he's playing some of the best football in his career right now. And you want him to stop? Like, no, he's not. It's something he's going to lose sleep over at night. So, like I said, I know six is the number that they usually tell you, yeah, you might want to retire after this. But if it's up to him, I think he's probably going to continue to go, especially if this team does go on a run where they can make the postseason. And he's a kid from Cleveland. Like, he wants to see Cleveland win a championship and be a part of that. So, like I said, I don't think he will retire unless they physically tell him we ain't clearing you.
Get home. Get those groceries in the fridge and freezer. Thanks,
yeah,
buddy.
Seriously.
Thank y'all so much. I'll see y'all Sunday.
Yes, indeed.
Go Browns.
See you Sunday.
And go Cavs. Get one in the guard.
There you go. Tyvus Powell, our buddy, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.